Welcome to Big Blue Hits, presented by Hess. I'm Paul Dottino, along with Roman Oben. Glad you could join us today. And, you know, Roman, I got to tell you, there is a buzz around the facility these days. The Giants have won three in a row, and they're looking for four.
Well, this defense is leading the charge, and how they played the last 3 weeks versus the first six games of the season really shows an indication that this team, especially defensively, is on an ascension.
All right, let's take a look at the Adorama news of the day, and that is JPP with a sore shoulder did not practice for the second straight day. Tom Coughlin is hoping that he can get him out there tomorrow, because if he can't pass the test to Tom Coughlin's satisfaction, he won't play Sunday.
Well, and as we know, JPP's been battling something all year with his back. Now it's his shoulder. Again, you need all the D linemen that you can, especially because they've kept 10 on this team. So we need to see what he can do tomorrow if he's going to play on Sunday.
You know, the Green Bay Packers are certainly interested in that injury information. Our number here is 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, if you'd like to give us a call and talk Giants football. Now, the rest of the injury report, the Giants got a bit of some good news. Brandon Jacobs was able to practice on his sore knee today.
Yeah, and you look at what happened last week. Andre Brown had 30 carries. It's going to be tough for him to do that again. You need that big backfield that you thought you were going to have when he was coming back. And you look at, obviously, we talked about JPP. Coy Webster's been an ongoing the last couple of weeks. But, you know, Brandon Jacobs, Bear Pasco with his ankle, I mean, these are the guys that tomorrow will really be the test to determine what they do on Friday, Sunday. And obviously, Terrell Thomas, he's been managed all year because of the multiple injuries he's had to face throughout his career.
Now, again, the key guy on that list is really JPP, because the Giants' pass rush has been better as of late. And linebacker John Beeson says when that's working well, it helps the whole defense.
That's the most important thing. You know, we go as they go. You know, we have a very talented defensive line, guys that can get after the quarterback but also play the run. And, you know, they're just doing it together. It's amazing, man, when those guys are playing up front. It's just easy.
Now, it was Matthias Kiwanuka's strip sack with 3.5 minutes to go last Sunday that sealed the game against the Oakland Raiders. Obviously, if JPP does not play, he will get more snaps in the rotation, and so will rookie DeMontre Moore, who's primarily been a special teams player, Roman.
Yeah, and DeMontre Moore, I mean, what he's done in special teams, he blocked a punt in preseason, the Steelers game. He blocked one last week. He's been a gunner, so it shows you the speed and athletic ability that he has at the defensive end position. And if you can come off the corner anywhere close to what he's doing on punt team, I mean, that's going to be an added advantage for a Green Bay Packers offense that hasn't prepared for DeMontre Moore. So that could be, again, an addition. You got 10 defense linemen on this roster, a lot of ends, a lot of speed, but now here comes DeMontre Moore getting to the quarterback. And this Giants team is loaded with defensive linemen. Kiwi, we've seen what Kiwi can do. Tuck's played better. This defense is really swarming around the quarterback. And you're going to have to do that against Tolzien on Sunday.
Well, Scott Tolzien, the guy you just mentioned, Roman, is the third Packers quarterback in 3 weeks because they've been riddled with injuries. Rodgers is down. Wallace is down. So here's Tolzien, who makes his first NFL appearance last weekend against the Philadelphia Eagles. If you're the Giants, do you rely on the front four to try to get to him, or do you send a bunch of blitzers and try to get things hot for him?
Well, I think they're going to run the ball primarily. And, you know, the best friend of a quarterback is a running game. But he does well, you know, in that system. He's a systems guy. He's a smart quarterback. He picked up the system well. He ran some plays last week that they hadn't even practiced, you know, with two centers. So, you know, Tolzien is a smart guy. He's arguably the best quarterback that this Giants defense has seen in the last 3 weeks.
All right, let's go to the phones. Eric from North Dakota, your first on Big Blue Hits. Hi.
Hi. Good afternoon, guys. How y'all doing? Hi. I was wondering if by any chance if they're gonna stop the run from like, you know, Sean Rogers that was there with our team. I know he got hurt. Is there like a possibility that they could bring back another guy, like another veteran, like Rocky Menard?
Well, to clarify, Roman, Sean Rogers had a bum knee and went on injury reserve before last weekend's game.
Right, and then they activated
Marcus Coon.
So there's no need to re-sign, you know, a Rocky Bernard or somebody off the street. So there's enough there in that locker room to activate another player.
And quite frankly, since the Carolina game way back during the first month of the season, the Giants have not allowed a 100-yard rusher.
No, and they've done well, whether it's Adrian Peterson or you know, D'Angelo Williams going back to Carolina, like you said. I mean, the Giants have done well stopping these rushers, and I don't expect that to slow down on Sunday.
All right, now, Eddie Lacy has run for over 650 yards this year. He's a top 10 rusher in the NFL. He's strong. He's powerful. He even's got some breakaway speed. He's got to run for over 50 yards on a touchdown this year.
And he's a strong, tough runner. He's great tackle to tackle. He's almost like an Andre Brown, but with more speed. And, you know, he's a tough, physical guy, about 230 pounds. So that offense, because of the quarterback situation, that offense is going to live and die, you know, so to speak, with the success of Ed Lacy. If you stop him first defensively, then you make the quarterback have to beat you.
Okay, the quarterback at least has some good targets, though. Cobb may be down, but they're still looking at guys who they can throw the ball deep to. JaMychal Finley's got 7 touchdown catches on the season, but none in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and you look at this receiving core, you know, Jordy Nelson, he's the big play target. You know, he's got, you know, 7 touchdowns this year, and he does well, especially that area between the hash and the sidelines. He uses that well. And they've always had a plethora of guys at the receiver position who play well within that Green Bay system, and that's why they're confident that you can plug in a third-string quarterback that was on practice squad and just get the ball to those spots and still be effective.
Good pickup by you. Finley is hurt. It is Jordy Nelson, in fact, who's got the 7 touchdown catches, Roman.
Yeah, 100%. And they expect to be effective no matter who they line up out there.
I like when my lineman recovers that offensive fumble. You got to hold on to the ball. No giveaways here. When we come back, we will delve more into this Giants-Packers matchup. So stick around. Big Blue Hits returns right after this.
The objective of the Tom Coughlin J Fund Foundation is to be there for families who have a child with leukemia, cancer, other forms of cancer.
Tom Coughlin, nice to meet you. Are you a Giant fan?
Well, you're a pretty girl.
It's a tremendous feeling to just be with these kids, to have a little bit of an idea of what the families and the children are going through, and again, to try to bring a smile to their face and to let them know that, you know what, we do care.
Yeah, turn everybody in. Yeah.
There's so many things pulling at that family when your child is diagnosed with cancer. What we try to do is keep that core, keep them a family.
Just lightening their burden a little bit is huge for them because it's one less thing that they have to worry about. They can focus on their child and their child getting the treatment that they need.
Giants! There you go.
And welcome back to Big Blue Hits, presented by Hess. Paul Dottino, Roman Oben with you. And our number is 201-939-4513. If you'd like to talk some Giants football, coming up in a bit, Anita Marks with some fantasy football conversation. Roman, Victor Cruz has had his typical Victor Cruz type of season. I don't know how the Packers are going to defend him, but this is a team who I'm sure is going to give him a little extra attention because they're not very good back there.
Yeah, and Victor Cruz is no stranger to getting attention by defenders, whether it's being bracketed with the safety over the top, being, you know, double covered. I mean, he's had to find ways just in those little intricacies to get open. So I don't expect this Sunday to be any different. Every defense plays the Giants saying, we've got to stop number 80 if the Giants are going to do anything.
The Packers with only 3 interceptions this year, last in the National Football League. Let's go back to the phones. I think it was Evan in New Jersey, if I heard my producer correctly. You're next on Big Blue Hits. Hello.
Why isn't Eli Manning
struggling
so much?
Hi, do you have a question?
Why isn't Eli Manning struggling so much?
I have to be honest with you, I couldn't hear
it too well. Well, she said, why do you think Eli Manning is struggling so much? And I think, and we'd have to say, there was a pick six last week, but when a quarterback is not sitting his feet comfortable in the pocket and he's not able to just look through his progressions, I mean, that's when he gets hit. And obviously there's been some communication issues with Eli Manning and some of the young receiving core. But we've also seen some of their successes. Reuben Randle's had a few touchdowns. Hakeem Nicks has yet to score. But again, you've got to keep a quarterback like Eli Manning clean so he can work down the field and look through his progressions and find those receivers. And a lot of times as well, Eli Manning just hasn't hit the timing because I think he's thinking about, you know, how he feels in that pocket.
Cannot afford any communication troubles with the offensive line because the Packers, they're a top 5 team in the NFL in terms of sending a blitz. They'll send it 40% of the time. That's Dom Capers with his 3-4.
Yeah, 100%. And I think Dom Capers, he's known for pressuring that defense, collapsing the pocket, you know, with those big slugs you've got on a defensive line. But again, Victor Cruz is a guy that's going to have to be effective for this team.
Yeah, let's get a listen to Victor. I'm sure he has some thoughts about that Packer secondary.
They kind of run some of the same schemes that they've had in the past, and it gives us a little bit of confidence, but every team is different. Every game is different. Everything is unique. Every game plan that they have for us is unique. So we just got to go in there and expect the worst, expect for them to come with everything they got, and I'll be able to adjust off of that.
And so, once again, we're talking about a Giants offense that hasn't quite been in sync, that may be able to burn the Packers when they send those extra guys up front.
Well, again, and going back to Dom Capers, you know, what the fundamental thing that Dom Capers does is he's got these three big defensive tackles, like, you know, B.J. Raji, some of these guys. They're going to push the pocket. They're going to collapse the pocket and squeeze those two tackles and the guards inside. And then you've got the speed on the outside, you know, from the linebacker position, you know, to make those plays. So just like the Giants when they rush four defensive linemen, Dom Capers expects those three defensive linemen on the inside to really get the job done and put the pressure on the interior offensive line of the other team.
Let's talk some numbers, Roman. Of Eli Manning's 16 picks this year, 10 of them were because he was under duress in the pocket. So that kind of speaks to what you're talking about, what Dom Capers is going to want to do to Eli. At the same time, during the Giants' three-game winning streak, they've run the ball 30 or more times in each of the wins. They've gotten balance. They've won the time of possession in those games. Roman, that's a good thing for this offense.
Well, and that balance is what creates the offense's ability to do well on both sides. I think there's still some issues scoring in the red zone, which the Giants kicked a lot of field goals this year. But again, you get down the goal line, you should be able to punch it in. You know, Andre Brown, you know, got the Terminator up front blocking John Connor. So in that way, it's effective. But if you could just get a hat on a hat and move that defensive line and play on the other side of the line of scrimmage, you're going to get second and fives, second and shorts, and that's going to help your third down, that's going to help your red zone, and that's going to help give you some balance to be able to go downfield and take those shots and those high percentage shots. And let's not forget, you know, Peyton Hill is his addition to the team. I know he dropped the screen last week and, you know, turned the ball over, but he's got to be as effective. So you've got to be able to run the ball and throw the ball well in situations so you're not being predictable on offense.
Now, Roman, let me ask you this. In recent times, the Giants have gone to a little bit more of a shorter passing game instead of just taking all the big shots downfield. The Packers are giving up 60% completion percentage marks to the opposing team's quarterbacks. Do you think the Giants should go with the nickel and dime stuff, or should they try to throw it deep?
Well, I think what the Giants should do is they should go in big personnel, then throw the ball and get that defense bunched up, and then spread them out, and then run the ball in the attack. So it's kind of like a duality of what you show, you do something different, because defenses do that. Defenses disguise. So offensively, you can't be so predictable. When you see Andre Brown or Brandon Jacobs in the backfield and a fullback say, oh, here comes the run, that's where you can do some play action. But again, if you're not running the ball well early in the game, if you're not getting some positive yardage, you can't do any of that stuff.
Okay, Roman, back to the phones. And Frank from New York City, you're next on Big Blue Hits. Hello.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. How's everything?
Good to talk to you.
Good. I just want to talk about Sunday's game. Obviously, it's nice to have a game here that we could actually look forward to. After about 3 weeks ago, we thought this was going to be a disaster of a season, and I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. Hopefully, we win on Sunday. But I really think you were just talking about the offense, Paul, about the about hopefully if we can get Jacobs back. You know, I don't see Brown being able to carry 30 times again without wearing this guy down.
Right.
You know, he missed the first 10 weeks of the year. I think if we can get Jacobs back on the field and give him maybe 5 to 10 carries where, you know, that style of run he had where he can just bruise up the defense and soften these linebackers up, and then I think it will open up things down the field. Because
well, the Giants can certainly get a power running game going when you have both Brown and Jacobs and even Hillis in the mix if he gets a couple of carries, Roman. But the call is right. To expect Andre Brown to carry the ball 30 times on Sunday would be a mistake.
Well, I think Giants fans need to realize, you know, big backs need more carries. So you can't just say give Brandon Jacobs 5 carries and he'll, you know, he'll get 50 yards. These guys get better with more carries, and that's why Andre Brown, from about carry 18 through 30, that's when he started getting more. So you've got to be able to try to balance that and give the guys, when they're getting hot, the horses are hot, you got to keep feeding them. So. But again, they have to find a way not to overload one of those horses.
Yeah, although Brown did admit he tapped out near the end of the game the other day. He did need a breather. 201-939-4513 is our number. Back with more Big Blue Hits right after this.
This is an important message for all Giants fans attending the games at MetLife Stadium. In an effort to enhance public safety, a new NFL bag policy will be implemented this season. Guests are welcome to carry in clear bags, 12 inches by 6 by 12, or small purses and handbags that are 4.5 by 6.5 inches or less in size. Any non-clear bag exceeding the size limit, including camera or binocular cases, will not be permitted. The Giants appreciate your assistance and cooperation with the following policies. For more information, go to Giants.com.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed, with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
And welcome back to Big Blue Hits, presented by Hess. It is time for Fact or Fiction, coming up in a bit. Again, fantasy football talk with Anita Marks. But, Roman, we got a few really good ones here. First one is, will Andre Brown once again get 20 carries or more this week? I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I'm glad you didn't say 30. You said 20. I think 20 carries is realistic, especially if Brandon Jacobs plays. Peyton Hillis might get a few of those carries. I'm going to say fact. Andre Brown does get 20 carries.
See, I'm going to go fiction because I think he's going to be just under that. I could see him getting 17, 18, maybe even 19, but I don't think he's going to hit the 20 mark. How about that?
Hey, well, I'll disagree with that.
Okay, next up. The Giants will have more sacks than the Packers on Sunday. Fact or fiction?
Well, I'm going to say fact. I think this defense is ascending, as I said earlier. They're playing better and better. You've got Clay Matthews playing with a bad thumb. He's playing with a boot on his hand. I mean, it's going to be hard for him to tackle. I think A.J. Hawk is good, but he's not really the guy who gets the sack. So you don't really have a lot of other guys on that Green Bay defense that get to the quarterback. So I think they can get rid of the ball quickly. On the other hand, you have a young quarterback who's going to get kind of frazzled in that pocket. If you stop the running game, it's going to be Sac City in the second half for the Giants defensively.
Yeah, I would count on that, Roman. That's why I'm going to say it is going to be fact as well. I do think the Giants will have a pretty good time going against this young, inexperienced quarterback. Okay, Brandon Myers will lead all tight ends in catches on Sunday. Fact or fiction?
Well, if you're talking all tight ends in the league, probably not. But tight ends on Sunday, I don't think so. Brandon Myers hasn't been an integral part of this offense. Thus far, I mean, he's had some drops, he's had some struggles, but on Sunday, let's look at the other side. You've got a Green Bay Packers team, he's got a young quarterback, going to be a lot of dink and dunks, and I think a tight end in that system, whoever's healthy, is going to be a recipient of a lot of those passes. I don't see Brandon Myers having north of, six or seven catches. I think that would be a stretch.
See, I'm going to go fiction on this one because I really believe that Akiem Nicks, who has made a career out of slicing up the Green Bay Packers secondary, is going to have a really big game. And even if he doesn't, I wouldn't be surprised. I'll tell you what. How about this? Either Cruz and or Randall will have 100-plus yards, and so will Akiem Nicks. So for me, it's got to be fiction.
All right, we'll see. We'll see about that one.
Because it's going to be the wide receiver deal for the Giants, not a tight end deal. Brandon Myers may not catch any. Jarrell Jernigan will be the Giants' primary kick returner on Sunday. Fact or fiction?
I'm going to say fiction. You know, when you have that turnover, you instantly go to the doghouse. We've seen what happened with David Wilson in the past. Jernigan's been in the league, I think, 3-4 years now. And to have a turnover early in the game, I don't think that instills trust in the coaching staff. I'm going to look at maybe Michael Cox getting some returns. He didn't see him a lot in practice, getting a lot of that kick or punt return duty. So I'm going to say fiction on Jarrell Jernigan being the primary returner on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm going to go fiction as well. Michael Cox during the preseason had 7 kickoff returns for a 30-yard average. He was really very, very good. And I think Tom Coughlin's probably seen enough of Jarrell Jernigan doing that. I think it's going to be Michael Cox, too, so I'm going fiction. Finally, Jordy Nelson will lead all players in yards from scrimmage on Sunday. Fact or fiction?
Well, I'm going to say fact. I think Jordy Nelson is still the only big play target that Green Bay has. So I expect a ball to get put up in the air and Jordy Nelson to come back with it. Now, does that result in touchdowns or points for them? No, but I think he will have 2 at least big catches of anywhere north of 40 yards. So I think he'll be the receiver leader. And if the Green Bay plays from behind in the second half, that's even more attempts for Jordy Nelson. So if you're just talking numbers, I think Jordy Nelson will still have the biggest day in all the receivers on both sides of the ball.
See, Roman, I like the way the Giants secondary is playing lately. They're really doing a solid job, especially about not giving up the big play. So I'm going to go fiction here. And again, I told you before when talking about Brandon Myers why he's not going to get the ball, the Giants receivers are going to be big time having a good day. Eddie Lacy will rush for 100 yards on Sunday is our last fact or fiction question.
Well, I'm going to say fiction. And I think the Giants defensive linemen, the D tackles in particular, have done an outstanding job penetrating, playing on the other line of scrimmage for the offensive linemen. And let's not forget, a few weeks ago, a guy by the name of Adrian Peterson, I don't know if you ever heard of him, they did a pretty good job stopping him on Monday night. But again, you know, Lacy's a good, tough runner, and he's really their entire offense. So I think this defense is going to focus on, we got to stop number 27 and then let the rest of the team beat you. And I think they will stand up to that challenge.
Yeah, I'm with you, Roman. I think this is fiction also. Look, the Giants' track record speaks for itself. We told you before that D'Angelo Williams of Carolina in the first month of the season was the last running back to run for 100 yards against this team. And they have. That's not just Adrian Peterson. It's Jamaal Charles, Matt Forte, McCoy from Philadelphia. Some of the best of the best. And they have not done anything against this team. Credit John Beeson and the defensive tackles in particular for doing a great job.
Yeah, and going back to Lacy, there's nothing flash about his game. He's not like McCoy. He's not going to make you miss. He's a straight downhill runner with some speed. So I think that really plays into what the defense does well. Create penetration, gap integrity. Beeson, whomever, Rivers, who's having a great year. He had a great game last week at least. So you're starting to see some improvement on that front seven. I think that's going to answer the bell even more for a guy who doesn't really have any flash. He's just really a downhill runner.
All right, our phone number is 201-939-4513. Roman, I have to ask you this. Psychologically speaking, which team has the edge? The Giants have beaten the Packers in several key games over the last 4 or 5 years, even though there's been some roster turnaround.
Well, I think you talk about that. The Giants have beaten the Packers. They've had success against them, specifically in the playoffs. But again, the way this defense is playing, and I know there's been a lot of criticism about the level of quarterback play that they played on the other side, whether it was Josh Freeman, Vic Foles, last week the Raiders, quarterback
Pryor.
As well, Terrell Pryor, was kind of a gimpy running quarterback. And again, this week, but what the defense has done is they're building confidence. You're seeing the sacks, the turnovers. You're seeing the recipe of what made this defense successful in the past, and I don't think that's going to stop. At home, second home game in a row after the bye week, a lot of emotion, a lot of enthusiasm. I think this defense is going to start fast, and I think they're going to play one-sided early on in the game and then make offense really punch it in at the end.
Well, let's not forget, Philly's defense had 2 picks against that rookie quarterback last week. And so I say rookie, but again, inexperienced. That could be a big key if the Giants should get a lead. Roman Oben, thanks for taking the time once again. And we're going to make a little switcheroo. Anita Marks is coming in right after you.
All right, my pleasure. Anytime.
All right, Roman, thank you so much. And by the way, speaking of Anita, she had a chance to talk to Cullen Jenkins, a defensive lineman who remembers all too well about what it means to play for the Packers.
Anita Marks here with Cullen Jenkins, and 3 in a row. Kind of tell us, what's the atmosphere right now in this locker room? Got to be excited.
Yeah, it is. It's a bit exciting, and, we've got a little momentum on our side right now. So, we're still trying to stay grounded because we still are 3-6 at this point, and we've got a long way to go. But at the same time, it's nice to have a little momentum on our side.
All right, so 1 touchdown allotted in 14 quarters. That's unbelievable. A little bit more swagger with this defense, considering you guys have really been holding guys down?
Yeah, we're going into games now trying to get shutouts, not just trying to, hold teams to, a certain number of points. We're trying to keep them off the scoreboard, period. And, I think, everybody's been doing a good job feeding off each other and playing good team ball. And, nobody's out there trying to do too much anymore. It's just great team defense now.
Now, a big key coming into the season, the defense wanted to have a better defense against the rush. 4 games, this defense has not allowed a touchdown to a running back. In 6 games, you guys haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher. Got Eddie Lacy coming to town this Sunday. Talk about him. Even though he's a rookie, he's had success so far in the NFL, but matching up against the Giants, it's going to be a tall task for him.
Yeah, it's going to be a big challenge for us. And, I think with their situation, too, the quarterback situation, I think that, this might prove to be our biggest challenge of the year because they're probably going to come in with a heavy dose of run and try to, not put too much on the quarterback's shoulders. So, we're really going to have to buckle down up front and keep them from getting started.
And welcome back to Big Blue Hits, presented by Hess. I'm Paul Dottino, along with the queen of the wardrobe and fantasy football, Anita Marks. Hello.
Wow. Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. And I have to tell you, one of the big keys to this weekend's football schedule is the fact that Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos are playing the Kansas City Chiefs in a game that is now on prime time.
Yes. Who knows? I mean, who would have thunk at whatever week in fantasy football you'd say bench Peyton Manning as well as Tom Brady this week? I mean, two of the best quarterbacks, but you've got Peyton Manning. He did practice today, but going up against the Kansas City Chiefs team, 36 sacks on the season. And you know they're going to be coming after Peyton Manning. And then on the opposite side, you've got Tom Brady going up against the Carolina Panthers, who are going to have the least amount of fantasy football points to opposing quarterbacks. So both these guys, you're not going to, let's face it, you're not going to bench Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, but just go in eyes wide open. They're not going to put up a lot of points for you this week.
All right, that number 201-939-4513, by the way, if you want to give Anita a call. A player we've been talking about for weeks, Percy Harvin. He finally gets a jersey.
I know. I can't wait. As you know, I play in 12 fantasy football leagues. I own him in 7, and I am going to play him this week. However, again, this is his first week back. Everything we're hearing out of Seattle is that they want to kind of work him in slowly, but he is going up against his old team, the Minnesota Vikings. So, I have some big hopes for Percy Harvin, but more realistically, you'll be lucky if he puts up maybe 10, 12 points for you, but that's a nice flex option. So utilize him in a flex if you can.
Now, a team we saw last week play the Giants, the Oakland Raiders, go up against Casey Keenum and Houston.
Right.
Another interesting play.
It is, and you do have Tony Romo and the Dallas Cowboys on a bye this week. A lot of people own Tony Romo. He's a great fantasy football quarterback. Some would argue that not a great quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys.
But really? Somebody's sitting opposite you, huh?
But a great fantasy football quarterback, if you need those points, Case Keenum would be a good option for you. Look at the points that he put up against two good defenses, Kansas City being one of them. So I like Case Keenum and available in a number of waiver wires.
So you're going to keep it in Texas, which is what you're doing there.
Yes.
Okay, tight end wise, we know that Finley's not around. Witten can't play this week because they're on a bye. So what are you looking at?
I love Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed, believe it or not, has put up the most fantasy football points for tight ends in the past 4 weeks, and that includes Jimmy Graham. How great's that?
Wow.
Another guy I really like is Timothy Wright for the Tampa Bay Bucks. This is a guy that him and Mike Glennon, who's now the starting quarterback for the Tampa Bay Bucks, they spent the entire offseason together. The two of them are as thick as thieves, and this is a wide receiver with a tight end body going up against the Atlanta Falcons that are not very good against the pass. So I really like Tim Wright. Again, another guy that's available on a number of waiver wires.
Anita, I want to go back to the Houston game for a minute because we talk quarterback, but how about running back? Arian Foster is injured. He's on IR. In fact, that whole IPO thing where they were selling shares of his future earnings is down the tubes.
Right.
So what do you do if you've got him?
Well, Ben Tate is going to carry the load, but Paul, Ben Tate's playing with 4 broken ribs. There is Dennis Johnson there, but it just doesn't bode well. If there is an opportunity, Andre Ellington is a running back who's just been tremendous. He's averaging 7 yards per carry, and he's not even the feature back for the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, Mendenhall is healthy, and Bruce Arians came out and said that he's our feature back. So I really like Andre Ellington. If there's an opportunity for you to go out there and trade for him, before your trade deadline hits, go out and get him. I love this guy, especially in PPR.
Now, I know you guys give points for defensive takeaways.
You guys.
Right? Well, you fantasy people.
You fantasy people.
And Ed Reed. All right. Ed Reed, one of the great thieves in NFL history. And now this guy, believe it or not, has signed with the Jets today.
Right.
Do you suppose that the Jets defense is worth taking?
Well, this is interesting, and folks need to realize this. And that is Rex Ryan was the defensive coordinator in Baltimore, obviously when Ed Reed was there. The present-day defensive coordinator for the Jets was Ed Reed's secondary coach in Baltimore when Ed was there. Now the band is back, is what they're saying with the Jets. And so, I think Rex is going to utilize Ed properly. Not a guy that I would go out and pick up and play for defensive players, but watch out. And what's interesting, the Jets go back to Baltimore week 12. That's going to be fun.
Oh, that's going to be a biggie. Hey, before we let you go, Brandon Jacobs, Peyton Hillis, Andre Brown. Brown can't duplicate those numbers from last weekend, can he?
Why? Why not? Look what he did last week. Going up against the Green Bay Packers, you've got Brandon Jacobs who's dealing with a knee issue. Peyton Hillis can't hold on to the ball. We all know how head coach Tom Coughlin doesn't like guys who fumble the ball much. So
this is true.
I love Andre Brown. I think he's a big play this week in fantasy.
Good stuff, Anita. Thank you.
You.
For Anita Marks and Roman Oben, I'm Paul Dottino. We'll see you next week on Big Blue Hits.